for your tangible presence in this place this morning. Thank you for what the fullness of joy in your presence. And right now, thank you for your word. That word that is powerful and living and is able to speak to our circumstances. It's able to reach deep down into us, touch our hearts, give us instruction, rebuke, and exhort and encourage better than anyone else can. Thank you because your word is supernaturally endowed to bring about changes that we can't by ourselves. We thank you because that word this morning comes out with power and accuracy. And we thank you for you confirm it with miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So I welcome you all once again. And welcome those who are online as well, you know, to this service. And you know, many times things happen when you're in church. That's the beauty and the benefit of church. I think I was talking to Sister Toby, and she was telling me what's been happening. Somebody else told me and said, oh, this is what's happening, you know, with her. And you said, you called her out at a meeting 1 year ago, and you said, by 1 year's time, this is what will happen. And I said, she said, you don't remember. I said, no, I don't remember. Because a lot of things are said when you're in God's presence that are just God speaking. You know, so he said, no, you said, I said, I don't remember anything about it. You know, I do remember some things, amen. My memory is not so bad, but I do remember some things. But I didn't remember that at all, incidentally. And she said, when you said it, I felt the Holy Ghost speaking to me and saying, mentor her. You know, and she didn't for a while, but she did eventually. And they're working together now. You know, and the things and the turnaround have happened. I remember also sometime in the battle, I looked at somebody was singing. And when I came up, I said to him, I said, you know, I was looking at him. I was looking at his, you know, dressing and all of that. And I said, in 1 year's time, God says you will laugh at yourself. And say, is this what I used to look like? Is this, you know, how things were for me? And in 1 year's time, the kind of transformation and doors that had opened to him were indeed amazing. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And I felt strongly, you know, on my heart that God will do amazing things for us in these times. Are you hearing me? And you know what that means? This is when you buy a car that you haven't bought one before. That amen sounded like you had quite a shocker. Eh? Eh? This is when you will get your house. You don't look at the circumstances. You know that scripture they were reading last week, 2 Kings 3, that there will be no what? No cloud, no rain, yet the place will be full of water. So don't look at the circumstances. That's what God is saying. God says, I don't walk with all of those circumstances. I do what I say I will do, full stop. You know, so the things that you have thought were impossible, you know, the dreams you've had and the things you thought, when will I ever? God says, now you will ever. Amen. This is when you will ever do those things that you thought that you will never be able to do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But this morning I want to kind of almost like continue from where I was last week, you know, and where I stopped last week, almost, not really so, but almost. And this week I want to talk about how Isaac survived. You know, how Isaac survived. Can I hear you say how Isaac survived? Midway into my message last week, actually my mom walked in, and when we got to the house, she said to me, where is the message? I want the full message. And I had to call Toby, you know, and say, please, you have not uploaded. Because she kept asking me, you know, repeatedly, what about the message? I said, it will be online, I'll download it on your phone. And then she'll ask me again, say, you haven't downloaded it. What about the message? I said, they will upload by tomorrow. So I called Toby, I said, Toby, where is the message? When are you uploading this message? Because I'm under fire. You understand? So I have to explain to him later. You say, she's asking for the message. That's why I'm harassing you, because I know that, I mean, you will get home, you want to relax. And so I had to tell him that, look, there is a reason why I'm tormenting you now. It's not just me. And she was saying to me, she said, you know, the thing that it's like a burden was lifted. She said, and the things you were saying about consistency particularly, and then she told me about somebody. I said, do you remember this? I said, yes, you know, growing up as a child. And she said, you know, they came to see her, and the woman just sits at home now. She doesn't go to church anymore. In her 70s. Doesn't go to church anymore. They're discouraged and all of that. And saying, what would they even be saying? They'll just be repeating the same thing. Is it not the same Bible that they are still going to be talking about? They'll just be repeating the same thing. So she doesn't go to church anymore. And I couldn't believe it. But I told her, I said, it's also not surprising because that's what the Bible says. He said, because wickedness and all of that will increase, he said, the love of many will wax cold. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And what I came to tell you is don't wax cold, though. Are you hearing me? This thing is working whether you feel it or not, whether you think so or not, whether it looks like it or not. This Bible works. Are you hearing me? This word works, and you have to walk it. You have to stay there and act like it is working, and then it will work for you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So Genesis 26. We want to talk about how Isaac survived. So who is the Isaac? Is Isaac the son of Abraham? Are you still there? Genesis 26, we read the first 14 verses. It says, there was a famine in the land. Besides, that is, apart from the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and I told you the last time, I said, famines are not peculiar. Okay? Bad economic climates are not peculiar. One of the things you must always remind yourself of is that whatever you might be going through, people have gone through it before you. Okay? And many of them survived. Many of them triumphed. Many of them overcame it. So why not you? Are you still with me? If they overcame it, so why not you? If you listen maybe to Kenneth Hagin and all that, they will tell you about the depression days. The depression days. If you listen to people, if Grandpa were to tell you now, he will tell you about the days of SAP. Huh? Are you still there? How many people know SAP? Okay. It's called what? Structural Adjustment Program. There are many young people here. Did you know that in this country, they rationed how many packs of sugar you could get? Just in the 80s. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In the first coming of Muhammadu Buhari. So somebody says every time he comes, we go through depression. Yeah? In the first coming. Am I right, Grandpa? They were rationing the things. They were rationing milk, rationing sugar, rationing everything. Are you hearing me? Because things were bad. There is Q. Q to collect half of St. Louis sugar. You know St. Louis sugar? Eh? You will queue up. You can only get half. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so things are tough. Things are rough. It's not new. Are you hearing me? And so last week I was talking about what? When times are tough. What happens? The saying says the tough gets going, meaning the tough people take action. They don't give up, they take action. Now we're talking about how Isaac survived. Because there are certain tips, you know, in the Bible, that every time you read the Bible, and if you were here in Bible school also, we're talking about the fact that when you are seeing the whole Testament, and you are seeing something good, and you are seeing something that worked, then you begin to claim those things because the Old Testament is not done away with. But all of the good things there, we can take and know that we even have better. Hallelujah. So it says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of what? Of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I'll be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Verse 4, and I'll make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give you to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Please note that God's language didn't change. There was a famine. God was still saying what? Great things. Great things. Great things. I will bless you. I will multiply you. But there was a famine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God was still saying, I will multiply you. I will bless you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Verse 6. So Isaac did what? Dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she's my sister. For he was afraid to say, she's my wife. Because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she's beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she's your wife. So how could you say she's my sister? Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech, verse 10, said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him, did what he said he would do. Abi? The man began to prosper, and continued prospering, until he became very prosperous. Verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. So I mentioned it in passing last week, you know, about Isaac. But I felt that God wanted us to look at it. What did Isaac do? Because in that year, he started by telling us that there was famine. But then it ended where we read by telling us that Isaac began his prosperity that year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That year, that same year when he says there was famine, was the same year he said the man began to prosper. So it means that the man wasn't really prosperous by God's standards. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wasn't really prosperous yet. He was okay, but he was not really prosperous. But that was the same year that the Bible says he began to prosper. And then he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. One says he began to be great and continued until he became very great. Are you hearing me? So maybe one of the first places to start from is to realize that God is not limited by her circumstances. Are you hearing me? This is just still an introduction. God is not limited by our circumstances. One of the biggest problems we have is that we think that the same way that those things move us, they move God. We think that the same way, you know, there are people who are monitoring dollar to naira every day. Eh? Who monitor it every day? Say, ha, do you know it has, naira has fallen 50 naira again today. They are not Malaw. They don't sell any, but they are monitoring it every day, and they are crying every day. You know, there are some people that they share news. They put it on their status. Every day, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy is not a journalist. Why is he reporting this kind of news every day, every day, every day? Look, listen, when you do that, it will grip your heart. Because faith comes by hearing. What is that faith in that context? That is what you believe. Comes from what you keep exposing yourself to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you keep exposing yourself to what makes you afraid, then you will be very afraid. So there's no need to monitor all of those things. We do it so much until we get to a place where we think that the same way we are afraid, God is also afraid. Are you hearing me? None of these things move God. None of these things move God. He's not bothered about anything. He's not bothered about dollar. He's not bothered about whatever you are going through. He's not even bothered if you lose your job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He still remains God. He can still bless you without a job. I'm not saying that you should go and resign and say, I take your job. And they rebuke you, say, man, God will bless me without a job. I know, shame me. You know, that's as bad as the guy who says in Mark 16 that he says they shall take up serpents and it shall not hurt you. Then you're going to be carrying snakes and be wrapping it around your neck. He says you shall take up serpents. No. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Because when the devil told Jesus, he said, jump down. Abi? He said, because he has said he will give his angels charge over you. Jesus said, no, you don't tempt the Lord your God. Meaning, you don't go and say, hey, it's a big God I said, and then you go and put yourself in that circumstance. Is if you happen to be in that situation, then you can believe that God will set you free from it. Did you understand what I'm saying? So there are certain things that Isaac did that helped Isaac to survive. And why am I saying that? Because Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Which Pastor NY has repeated to you many times so that you know that I was watching. Are you hearing me? What does it say? The things that were written before times were written for what? For our learning. Can I hear you say learning? So that we will know. We must be learning means you know it. He said they were written for our learning so that we through the patience and the comfort of scriptures. The patience is what? I told you that last week. The word patience means what? Consistency. So that through the consistency and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. So that when you are reading about Isaac, that's why we can look at and say today we are studying how Isaac survived. So that when we are looking at it, we are saying, okay, so these are the principles that work for Isaac. They should work for me. Are you with me? So number one, what did Isaac do? He followed God's instruction. Can I hear you say he followed God's instruction? If you are going to survive, then as a believer, you need to start. If you haven't been doing it before, you need to start now. To listen for and follow God's instructions. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, says if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Can I hear you say that? Say if you are willing and obedient, willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. So it's not just your willingness. I want God. It says there is obedience involved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the obedience for Isaac was that Isaac clearly was going to Joppa. For those who might be listening elsewhere in the world, Joppa means migrate. So Isaac was going to Joppa, isn't it? And God says, don't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Follow God's instructions. I'm not saying Joppa or don't Joppa. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying follow God's instruction. What is God saying to you? And not what God is saying to your neighbor. We have a tendency to do or to act like, like herds of cattle or goat. If one is going this way, everyone goes that way. Are you with me, anybody? Follow God's instructions. He said in John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Meaning that every child of God hears him. He's speaking to you. And you need to take your time and be intentional about it to say, what is God telling me to do or not to do? So Isaac clearly had a plan. This is not working. These things are dry here. There's a famine here. I'm going to move. And God said, don't go to Egypt. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay. Are you there? Listen, you know, what people don't know, in 2005, I was going to Joppa. Did you know that? 2005. I thought that I was meant to. So in 2005, I was going to study. You know, and I told my wife, I said, look, we didn't have a child. I said, I believe this is the time God wants us to move. So when I went to study, she came visiting, but she started moving our things. So by the time she came, the first time brought a lot of things that she was bringing to dump. By the time I had landed and had been there 1 month, I knew I wasn't meant to stay. So by the time she came, I said, take the things back. She said, what is happening? But that's, I said, take them back. I'm not staying. Said, why? I said, I don't know, but I'm not meant to stay here. I said, so I'm going back. Are you following what I'm telling you? You follow God's instructions for you. What people also don't know is that at that time, I don't think I've told the story. I think I've told it once or twice, maybe before. You know, have you ever heard me tell the story before? You have heard me tell it once. You haven't heard me tell it at all. I think I told it once in Ibadan. And most people had never heard me tell that story. You know, and at that time, when I finished medical school, I finished 2000. When I finished medical school, most of our classmates, when we finished, most of our classmates jackpot. Most of them jackpot. In fact, in those days, Ireland was raining. So most of them ran off to Ireland. And, I mean, UK, of course, you get people in the UK, you get people in America, definitely. And then they go to Caribbean islands. Okay? The interesting thing was that if there was anybody with the opportunity to go, it was me. Some of them told me later, they said they couldn't believe that I was still in Nigeria. That if anybody had the opportunity to go, I was number one, or I ranked very high on the list. And what I meant by opportunity is that not only could I go, I had visa and all of that, but I also had support. I have an elder brother who was a medical doctor. At the time I was finishing, he was there. He was already settled. He was a practicing physician there. He had his own house. At the time, he was single. So I had a house to go to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it was very nice to me. Even when I came to study in 2005, it was very nice to me. So I could get pocket money. I just sit down and be reading, write my professional exams, start work. Other people were going and they have to hustle. You understand? To get money to pay for exam, you have to hustle to pay rent. I wouldn't have those problems. But I said, no, that's not God's plan. And then by 2005, when I felt it was God's plan, again, the moment I took this, I said, no, I don't believe it's God's plan. You must be willing to follow what God is saying to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you must be willing to clear off all of the noise and all of the pressure. Many people make decisions out of pressure. Because there's a lot of pressure, we just run in the direction of least resistance. Are you with me? People are looking at me straight like we don't like what you're... You better like it. Are you still there? Go to Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 32. Let's look at something very quickly. I like to point this out to people a lot. You know, Psalm 32. I think it's very critical where God's leading is concerned. Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Then look at verse 9. I think it's as important as verse 8. You like verse 8? I think verse 9 is as important. He said, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding and which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. You know, bit and bridle is when, you know that thing, if you watch a cowboy movie, you know, and you see the cowboy sitting on the horse, when he pulls that rope, what has happened is that thing is not just around the horse's mouth or head. There is actually fitting inside the horse's mouth that sits on his teeth. Are you hearing me? How many people have ever gone to the dentist before? Just 1, 2, 3. How many people have had toothache before? You've had toothache before. How was it? Eh? Your brain will not be working. Eh? So the pain that comes when something hits your tooth. So what happens is that when they fit it that way, you find that when the horse rider is riding and he wants to stop, he pulls hard on that thing, and the pain that the horse will feel is what makes it stop. No matter how fast it's running, when he pulls hard, the horse, it hurts. Why? Because there's a lot of pain. And what God is saying is that don't be like the horse or the mule. That is the pain that tells you when to go and when to stop. Are you hearing me? He's saying, I will speak to you. Don't follow the pain. Don't let pain be the reason why you do or don't do, but just listen for my voice. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You know, we have this compass. We call it the Compass Fellowship that we do, online fellowship for people in the diaspora. And we do first Sunday of every month, 1 hour. Last Sunday, two people were sharing. I'd asked somebody to share about his journey, about his journey and his process. And he shared about that journey. And he said something interesting. I knew some of his stories anyway before. But he shared it again, and he was telling us that at some point, he had gone to Germany to study. Then he moved to the UK. He said at some point, he was there in the UK. When he went to Germany, he was single. Along that line, he got married, and his wife joined him in the UK. So he moved to the UK, and his wife was with him. When he got to the UK, he got a job. And he said, first that job, I think the first one was gone or over. And then he was going to get a job. And of course, you panic. You're in a strange place. You don't have a job, blah, blah, blah. In fact, at the point, they had to move in with somebody else. And for about a month. And then he had offers. So he spoke to us. We prayed together. He spoke to somebody else. I encouraged him, speak to this person. He's been in the UK for a long time. He used to be in church in Ibadan, but he's been there for over 20 years. I said, speak to him. So he spoke to him. That one encouraged him, told him certain things. Then he searched for a job. He got offers. And then he spoke to me, discussed, and all that, the different offers and all that he had. And that, what do I think? I said, you have to hear God. You understand? You have to follow God in choosing what you will choose. Don't choose it based on how much money they are offering you in one place against the other. I said, just follow whatever God says to you. So he did. And he picked on this job and took on the job. 1 month later, they fired him on that job. And of course, you can imagine the distress. You are fired 1 month. They gave him another 1 month. They said, just stay at home. Just stay at home. Don't be working. We will pay you this month. But we are not using you anymore, but we'll give you 1 month free. And panic. He began to look for a job. And then he got the job that he's doing now. And he said, the interesting thing to him was that this job, he found out that these guys gave him this job, which he likes, and they're training him a lot and all of that. He said he got this job because they found out that he worked in the previous place. He worked in the previous place for only 1 month. They fired him. He said, but those ones gave him this job because he had worked in that place. He kept thinking to himself, it's only 1 month that I did there. I don't even know what I really did in 1 month. You understand what I'm saying? When you get on a job for 1 month. But that was the reason why this particular door opened to him. So what was happening? When he was believing God and all of that, and God was directing him to take on this job, and then he was fired and he was in distress and in confusion. He didn't know that God needed him to be in this other place, but he will not be in this place if they don't see that he had been in that place before. God is bigger than us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's bigger than us. He knows better than us. The other person who had been there for decades also then shared his story. And he was saying, I knew he was in investment banking, and all of that, doing well. And then he lost that job. I think he lost the job about whether they were going to have their first child or second child. He lost the job. And he said again, he looked for jobs and he got these offers. And he was believing God, trusting God, which one do I pick? And God told him to take the one that was offering him the lower salary. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God told him, take the one offering a lower salary. Not only were they offering a lower salary, it was a startup business. So one man is just starting his business. That's the one you want to go and work for. You don't know whether the business will succeed or not. And they are even offering a smaller salary than the other one that is already offering you a job. And God says, don't take this big one. Take this one. Listen, that's how Isaac survived though. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Isaac was willing to do what God said to do. When it looked attractive to go this way, God said, don't. Stay here. Are you hearing me? Now, in fact, he did the interview he went to the place, took on the smaller offer. And then the owner said, actually, I will not even put you on this business. I'll put you on one that I'm just about to start. And he put him there. Today, he's a director in that company. Are you hearing me? God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. And so the reason why, we're driving, I came in from Maiduguri on Thursday night. Then I got somebody to drive me. I went to the office very early in the morning. Then I went to Lekki. And then I came back to Yaba. So when we're coming back, I told this guy, because he's a cab driver, I told him, I said, I say Osonyi. You know, that's GPS. I said, Osonyi said you should take Ozumbamba the way road. The man said, no, we can take Ikoyi Link Bridge. I said, Osonyi said Ozumbamba the way. He said, no, Ikoyi will be free. And then as we got to the bridge like this, traffic. I said, you see why you listen to Osonyi now? You see why I'm following Google Maps? I said, because normally this place is free at this time. That's what you know. I said, but the thing is looking from satellite, and it can see per time whether there's an accident, whether there's something. That's why I said, don't go this way, go this other way. And you were using your native knowledge. I said, now you have put us inside this one now. Are you with me? Now, that's what's happening with us with God. God says, don't go this way, go this way. Say, no. This is working now. Everybody's doing it's working. But God is looking at it from above. He can see it will not work for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you have to be intentional, if you survive, to listen for what God is saying. Can I have an amen? Amen. So God says, stay in the land. And the Bible says in verse 6, I believe, it says, so Isaac did what? Dwelt in Gerar. Number 2, hold fast. Hold fast. What do I mean? Hold fast to God's word. Like I pointed out, in trouble, in whatever, God doesn't change what he has said. He kept saying, I'll bless you. He kept saying, I'll multiply. I'll do this. I'll do that. Nothing has changed. Listen, as a matter of fact, things went from bad to worse for Isaac. Because he was only dealing with economic challenges before. I mean, that's all he was looking at before. All of a sudden, he's about to lose his wife in the land. Maybe he would have escaped. God said, dwell in the land. Now concern shifted, not just from, he's looking at economic climate, but now he's also worried that they might even kill me because of this woman. Are you getting me? So things are even getting worse, but the guy held on. God said to dwell in Gerar. You have to hold fast to what God has said. Can I have an amen? Let's go to the book of James. The interesting thing about the book of James, you know, James was a half-brother of Jesus. And the interesting thing I find in the book of James is that he started off by telling us about enduring. And it ended up by telling us about enduring. So his message, his central message was what? Endure and you'll be blessed. His central message was, don't give up, you'll be blessed. Just like Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 4 tells us, he said, to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. As long as you are alive, there is hope. He said, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. One of the interesting things about God is his ability to turn things around. Are you with me? What looks like cannot change. What looks impossible, what looks incredible, is all possible with God. And it's possible even in the shortest possible time. One time there was famine in the land of Israel, and God said, by this time tomorrow, there will be abundance. I mean, our problem is that we think that God is like us. We limit him to what we can believe, or to what our mind can conceive. So God didn't say, don't worry, the land will be fine. You know, even the way it is now in Nigeria, if I came here this morning, no matter how hard I vibrate, and I speak in tongues of men and of angels, and I tell you, hear the word of the Lord. By this time tomorrow, a car will be sold for 10,000 naira. Brand new. See, a rubber. People will go away and say, said man is drinking something. Something is wrong with him. We don't know what happened to him. But it can't happen. I'm a Christian. You know when people go on radio and all that and they say, hey, I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian too. But all this talk about miracle and I think they're just deceiving people and misleading people. I'm a Christian too. I just laugh at myself. I say, which kind? You read your Bible? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, because, there are all kinds of Christians.
And I'm not saying that everything we see out there is correct, but I'm saying that as long as it's in the Bible, then it's correct. And it's possible. And I have an amen. Amen. So the man stood and said, by this time tomorrow, there'll be abundance. They said, even if, so one guy, the king's senior special advisor, said, even if God opens the windows of heaven, it can't happen. So the prophet said, you know what? It's going to happen. You will see it, but you won't eat of it. And what it took to happen, I'm just cutting all that short. What it took to happen was very dramatic, very interesting, very unpredictable. But that's how God can work. He can move a single thing, and all of a sudden, everything you are facing changes completely. And I was telling somebody, I said, you know, the reason why we have problems with the economy is not because things have not changed with government. I said, that's not why. I said, it's because the government has not shown signs, positive signs of where it wants to go. I said, because what you are dealing with in any economy are speculators. You know, they say speculators that is making. I said, that's life in general. Everybody is speculating about every economy in the world. I said, and all they are looking for, because what it will take to change the economy of Nigeria will take some time to get it done. So they are not waiting for those things to have been done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They're only waiting to see that, okay, this is the direction these people want to go. And all of the direction it seems like they want to go is very positive. Meaning, on the medium to long term, that country is going to change. You know, things will really improve there. Then the investors will bring their money and say, let me quickly put money here so that my money will grow. That's what makes it work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the speculation, and it happens everywhere. So if you are then thinking of, can God turn it around? Absolutely. All it requires is one policy statement and one behavioral thing or whatever, and you find that people are coming and trying to invest in here, and all of a sudden, you start discovering that the naira is strong. Are you still with me? Hold fast. Can I hear you say hold fast? James chapter 1. Let's look at James chapter 1. James, the first chapter. So what I've said to you is that God can change anything and can change it very quickly if he so desires. So don't give up hope. Don't ever sit there and write yourself up. Don't ever sit there and think that things cannot change or your case is too bad. There's nothing like that. Number one, follow what God tells you to do. Listen for his voice, obey him. Are you still there? You know, interestingly, let me say this to you, you know, about following God's instructions. You know, God told Abraham to japa. Eh? Abraham was at home with his father and all that, and God said, leave and go to a land that I will show you. Eh? Then Isaac, his son, wanted to japa. God said, don't. Stay in that land. So he dwelt in Gerar. God blessed him in Gerar. Eh? Joseph became prime minister, and he invited his father Jacob to Japa. Jacob didn't want to go. God said, go. Don't be afraid to go to Egypt. I will bless you there. So he told Abraham, Japa. He told Isaac, his son, don't Japa. He told Jacob, don't be afraid. Go, Japa. Instructions were different for everybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What if Isaac had said, isn't it God that told my father to leave? No. Me too, I will leave. He will suffer, eh? Are you with me? James chapter 1. So number 2 is hold fast. Hold fast. Don't give up. James chapter 1 verse 2. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Various trials. Why? Knowing. Can I hear you say knowing? You know, actually verse 2, one scripture says, throw a party. Throw a party when you fall into various trials. Just play music, cook your favorite rice or whatever, and begin to dance and call everybody and throw a party. And they say, why? You say, well, I don't come. That's what the Bible says. Is that in your own Bible? I mean, what version are you reading? He said, count it all joy. Count it reason for joy. Count it reason for a party. Count it reason to be excited when you fall into various trials. But he tells you why. He said, knowing. Okay? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. I told you that word means what? Consistency. But let consistency have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Meaning, if you stay through the program, stay through the test, he said the end is that you'll be perfect and complete and you will lack nothing. Are you with me? Look at verse 25. Verse 25. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if you stay with the word, it says he that looks into it. The word look there means to take a very good look. It's like the description of it is like bending over a well to see what is inside very well. You know, the well is dark. And if they told you that there was something that fell inside that well, you know the way you will look and look and look. That's the way he says you look into the word of God. That's the perfect law of liberty. You take a very good look. He said, and you continue that way. He said, then you will be blessed in everything you do. Go to James chapter 5. I told you he started by encouraging us to endure, be patient, be consistent. And he continues it at the end, the last chapter. James chapter 5, verse 11. He said, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Meaning the people we see and they are blessed are those who endure. Many times, one of the things we need to do is to ask people that you think, I mean, I'm talking about honest people, godly people, that you think they are blessed. Ask them to tell you their stories. Then you will hear things that you didn't think could ever happen. You know, it's very easy to see somebody and you think that this person has never been through anything before. But if you sit with them, let them tell you stories. Then you hear things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think that there was a time my wife was telling some stories here, you know, about how we didn't have, you know, food. In fact, at a point, my in-laws would bring us food. So, first time, second time, they saw the look on my face. My mother-in-law had to call me and say, please. Because I was looking like, if I see you. Because I know we didn't have, but I was like, please, leave us alone, we will survive. I said, please, this is the way my mother used to do for us too when we got married and blah, blah. Please, it's not. I'm not saying that you are poor. I'm not saying that you can't take care of my daughter. I'm just saying this is the way we know to do it. Please, please allow me. What do you say to that? Are you with me? Oh, we got married as coppers. We're two coppers. You know, people say, what do they call Alawi? We got married on Alawi. It's Alawi we're spending. Lola is looking. $4,000. 4,000 at the time. Allow you $4,000. Well, so as doctors, we also had a salary, but it was nothing. But that's what we're surviving on. That's what we're spending. Let me put small jara for you. So when you see somebody who's telling you he's not ready to marry, and yet he's working, he's getting good salary, in a lie, no one marry you. Run for your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Run for your dear life. He's not serious. He doesn't want to marry you. That's not an excuse. What I tell people is this. You are working. He's working. He's surviving. He's not starving. You are not starving either. You can't come together and now starve. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you're able to feed yourself. He's able to feed himself. Then why are we coming together and make you now starve? It just means he's not serious. Can I have an amen? Amen? And you run for your dear life. Yeah, I'm trying to repent and stick within my timing today. But years ago, I was with a friend. Went to medical school together. She had jackpot immediately, like many others. And I saw her in the UK. And I was talking to her. She was single. We had been married. So you know now, that means you finished med school. You do 1 year internship, Then you do NYSC. That's where we got married. Okay, both of us. We're both coppers. So this was now when I was studying in the UK. This was 3 years or so thereafter. And I saw this lady and I said, what's happening to you? Blah, blah, blah. And we talked about many things. She was working, doctor, blah, blah, blah. I said, you are not married. What's happening? Are you dating anybody? He said, yeah, that she's been dating somebody since we were in school. I said, really? Really? I said, I didn't know him. I didn't know about that, He said, yeah, that they've been dating since then. I said, so what's happening? He said, well, he's not ready. I said, is he in school? Is he studying? He said, no, he's not studying. I said, he has no job. He said, he has a job. I said, he works in this sector, blah, blah, blah. I said, so he's not in school. You've been dating since that time? He's here. He said, yes. And he's settled. He's been working. She said, yes. I said, and you don't have a date? She said, no. I said, auntie, this guy no one do. That's the handwriting on the wall. This guy doesn't want to marry you. But she had a birthday soon after, so she invited me. So I said, will you be there? She said, yes. I said, you know me now. I can talk. I said, I will see him. So when we got there, I said, where is he? He said, that's him sitting there. I said, thank you very much. So I went to greet him. Hey, how are you, sir? My name is blah, blah, blah. I'm a friend, and this. She told me that you are. Yeah. I said, so when is the date? I said, because I need to tell my tailor. Then the guy just looked at him. I walked away. I said, auntie, run for your life. She didn't hear me. I said, run for your life. That guy doesn't want to do anything. Maybe, I don't know how long, a year, 2 years, I don't know what it was. She got pregnant for him. And the guy, as I'm told, said that she wanted to trap him. How can they be trying to trap you after 7 years? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And completely denied the child and all of that completely. I mean, it's like somebody you are dating suddenly becomes an enemy, can't cut you off completely. I said, she's trying to trap him. I said, Ngban uncle, they should have trapped you and handcuffed you. Are you still with me? What took us there? I don't even know why we went there. But did you get something? James chapter 5. He said, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. And then he gave us an example. He said, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. That's the key. That without that perseverance, many people's stories are incomplete. Are you getting what I'm saying? What he's saying is that except that Job endured, we would not have known the end that God had planned. God had planned that the end of Job would not be the boils on his body. The end of Job will not just be the loss of his business, the loss of his children. God had planned, Job chapter 42, that Job will be more blessed than he was before. But we will not know that end except Job holds on and holds fast, even in the dark periods of his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so there are too many people who are cutting short the testimonies. They're not letting us see what God had in mind for them, because it will come to pass no matter what if you simply hold on and cooperate with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The righteous may fall 7 times, but he will rise again. It doesn't matter what you go through, you will get there. If God said this way is taking you to, you will get there. But you must hold fast. You must endure. Can I have an amen? Number 3, how Isaac survived. He sowed seeds. The Bible said that he sowed seed in that land, and what? He reaped a bumper harvest in the same year. And that's emphatic. He's saying that he reaped it even in the midst of the famine. That's why he said in the same year. And when I'm saying sowing seeds, it includes financial seeds and sowing and all of that. Yes, it does include that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So whether you give a tithe, you give offering, you give money to people to bless them, continue to do it. Sow the seeds in the same year. There's a lot of money this year that I've given that honestly, I can think of a lot of things to do with it. And I'm talking of perhaps I've sown more money this year than I've sown in the last 5 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've sown a lot of money this year that I could very well keep to myself. But you sow those seeds. Psalm 126 says, he that goes bearing precious seeds, weeping, will doubtless come again with a bounty harvest. So we don't stop because these things are this or that. No, 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 we don't stop. We continue to do what we know is right. So those seeds go beyond even just the seeds of a tithe offering. I gave money here, I gave money there. It's included, but it goes beyond that. Think about it as your actions of faith. What are the things that God is telling you to do or you know to do? Do them. Again, James chapter 2. So we're in the book of James. James chapter 2. Look at verse 17. It says, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. The word works there means corresponding action. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith without corresponding action. That's big grammar. It simply means action that displays what you believe. Are you still with me? How many people believe? So again, let's use financial because that's easy. Okay, that's more straightforward and clear. How many people believe that God says that when you sow seeds, financial seeds, he will bless you in return? How many people believe that? Now, listen. The only way, I'm explaining James chapter 2, okay, 17, 18. The only way that you really convince all of us that you believe it is that you do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the corresponding action, meaning action that lines up with what you believe, that's corresponding, is that I believe God will bless me for giving tithes and offerings, then I will do it. Isn't it? If I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly, then what will I do? I will give more. Are you still with me? But not only so, I need to believe, according to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, that everything I do is a seed. My actions are seeds that bring about a harvest to my life. It says, God is not mocked. You don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. One says, a man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that he sows. And he's not talking about financially in Galatians chapter 6. He's talking about the things you do. Are you hearing me? Your life depends entirely on the things you do. All the things you do are seeds. So there must be actions that you are taking. So James chapter 2 was saying, somebody will say, I'll show you my faith, and then I will show you my actions. He said, no. Both of them must align. I will show you what I believe by what I do. That's how Isaac survived. God says, stay there. So what are we supposed to do? Planting season has come. He began to plant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then people will look and say, but there's famine. There's no rain. There's no bear. We can't plant this year. The seeds will just dry up and die. The man began to plant. Why? Because he said, God told me to stay here. And he said, he will bless me. As a man who was a farmer by the name of Charles Capps, he was a teacher of faith. And Charles Capps had a similar incident. In a particular year, there was a famine. And all the farmers around him refused to plant. I'm just trying to show you that it takes faith. So this is faith that you saw in Genesis 26. God says, stay in the land, but that was not enough. Isaac knew, planting season comes. If God said I should stay here and he will bless me here, then I need to just continue and do what I know to do, believing that God has said he will bless me. So that year, all the farmers around Charles Capps, everybody, they were not planting because there was a famine. And Charles Capps not only planted, he went to all of them. He said, can I use your land? Borrow me your land. Can I use your own land? Can I use? So everybody gave him their land. And Charles Camp planted in all the lands. And the thing blossomed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were in shock. The word works. Are you with me? So do what you know ought to be done. Don't just say, I believe God, but you act opposite to what you said you believe. If you believe God, what is the corresponding action to what you believe? Are you with me? You know, the story about the centurion and his servant, Matthew chapter 8 gives that story, for instance. The man that said, the centurion, if you are wondering, the centurion is the man, and I'm trying to round up. The centurion is the man that said to Jesus that you don't need to come to my house. You remember that story now? He said, I am a man under authority. I say to some, you know, he's a centurion, he's a soldier. He said, I say to some, go, and they go. I say, come, and they come. He said, so you only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. My favorite version of that story is in Luke chapter 7. And in Luke 7, the Bible says that when the centurion went to Jesus, the people said to Jesus, I think about verse 5, they said to Jesus, they said, please go, because the man for whom you should do this is deserving. For he has done many good things for us, and he even built us a synagogue. And then the next verse, is that verse 6? Then the next verse starts with the word what? Then Jesus went with them. You know what the word then means? It means that what they said convinced him, moved him. I'm trying to tell you that all that you do are seeds. There was no financial, he built a synagogue, blah, blah, blah. What were they saying? He's a good man. He has been doing a lot of good things. And the Bible says that's what moved Jesus. Then Jesus went with him because he heard all the good things this guy had been doing. Everything you know to do is a seed. Are you there? So just like Isaac sold, you know, some people went, I can't go to church every day. But you are the one in charge of something. Transport is very expensive now. Why not walk? The sun. Buy an umbrella. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, time is running out. Are you with me? Time is running out. But there are things. Years back, I've told you stories. We've gone to Abeokuta before. We didn't have money. And we didn't even read. We were not thinking enough to assess among ourselves what we had before we went on the journey. We just knew we needed to go. We were eager, zealous for the Lord. It's when we got to Abeokuta, and we even didn't meet the person that we thought we would meet there. It was not at home. And then we needed to come back to Ibadan. We started asking each other, and then somebody said, I don't have money. This one said, I only have this amount. So you know what it translated to? We couldn't even drink Coke. Because the money we had will give us, we are not in Ibadan now. The money we have will bring us to Apata area. So we are at the entrance. It's like you get to the entrance, it's like arriving at 7-Up, and you're going to Lekki. So forget, perish the idea that we'll drink Coke and bread or biscuit. Forget it. That hunger, you keep it. Because we still need to get to. We were doing it for the Lord. But guess what? The Bible says that God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Those are seeds. He doesn't forget them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, the national director of Rema Nigeria, Brother Tokes, he's been here, he's preached for us many times before. He used to go. How do you say UI to Mokola Vine Branch? UI, what distance should I use? That's like going from here to Yaba. Huh? That's how he used to go to church and go back. No money. Huh? Are you hearing me? I don't know whether I told you those stories. Those of you that have been there, I can tell you it's true. Yeah, because sometimes when you say some of these things now people will think you're just telling stories. But I knew him. He's been my friend since back then. My pastor, Reverend Kolade, then one day, that's how the story came out. One day, just, this guy, the way he's in a hurry when service finishes, midweek service at night, the way once you say the grace, it will just take off. So the man said, wait, don't run off today. I will, don't worry, I will take you home. I will drop you at home. He said, that's when he realized that, is this where this guy is walking to? No wonder he's dashing out to go. Are you hearing me? Seeds. Are you with me? Now, it's a similar thing. If you know Reverend Victor Adeyemi, it's a similar thing when they planted Rema Chapel in Ibadan. That he will walk. He was a pastor. He will walk a similar distance to go and pastor and preach and all that and walk back to where he was staying. Are you with me? There's somebody who used to be Pastor Kumez, we call him. He was my senior in medical school. So final year, he was starting his final year medical school exams the next day. So this was Sunday evening. We had planted a fellowship where I first knew Brother Kola somewhere else. So I had gone there, you know, to minister. So we met back in the hostel in medical school. And I saw him and I was greeting him. How was fellowship, blah, blah. How everything was fine, this. And then I don't know how it came out, but it dropped that he walked back from fellowship to school. Did you hear me? Again, would you call that a similar distance from Hill of Love? Uh-huh. So a similar distance. He walked back. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Gen Z, are you hearing me? Eh? You know, Gen Z means that we don't like wahala. No stress, no sacrifice, no nothing. Listen, blessing will be foul. Eh? You have to sacrifice. You have to put in something. So this was somebody who was writing his final exam starting the next day. And he walked back. He was the pastor of the fellowship. He walked back from that place to school to come and start reading for final year exam the next day. Even when he told me, I was angry. I said, how can you do that? He said, I didn't have money. I said, then you will tell the treasurer to give you some money for transport now. He said, no, I can't do that. Are you hearing me? So when God begins to bless people, you wonder what they did. They sowed seeds. Are you with me? Let's stand on our feet. I've overshot the time. But let's stand on our feet. Well, what Isaac did will work for me too. It will work for you too. Follow God's instruction. Listen to his voice and do what he tells you to do. Number two, hold fast to his word. Don't give up. Things may go from bad to worse at first, but definitely what God has said will happen at the end of the day. And number three, sow seeds. Do the things that you know to do. Don't really think because things are this way, then you change. No. As long as that's the right thing to do, do it or continue to do it. Hallelujah. And God will bless you. Very quickly bow your heads. And just take a moment and talk to God. I don't know what decision you need to make this morning. Definitely you need to make a decision to listen for his voice, to follow his voice, and to do what he tells you to do. I want you to yield yourself and tell him, God, I am willing to obey, and I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And if you're here this morning, you need to make peace with God. This is a good time to do so. You need to dedicate your life to God. This is a good time to do so. Just place your right hand on your chest where you are. Either you have never been born again or you have been before, but you know that you've drawn away from God and you know you are backsliding. You are no longer sure of what will happen to you if you were to fall down dead. I was with somebody as we traveled this week, and it's of the Islamic faith. And the man was sharing. He said, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but the only way to go is to die. He said, but the reason why we are afraid of death is the uncertainty. We don't know where we will go after. And I thought to myself, I know. That's the difference. We know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We know. That's the difference. In this one, this Christianity, when we give our lives to Christ and we walk with God, we know. But that one, he was saying, we don't know. But we know. That's why we're not afraid of death, because we know. So just tell God that you give your life to him today. You accept that Jesus died for your sins. You accept that he rose. If you're online, you can do the same and you'll be saved. You accept that he rose again so that you might have peace and a relationship with God. And that you accept Jesus' sacrifice. You confess it right now with all of your heart, believing what you're saying. And you make a decision to do your best to walk with him from henceforth. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who prayed that. Thank you for drawing them. Thank you for keeping them. Thank you for the joy of salvation. In the name of Jesus. And very quickly this morning, you are believing God for something. Let's just pray together. God, you are the God of mercies. God of all mercies. Thank you, because indeed we experience your mercy in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves this morning. Whatever we are believing you for this morning, thank you, because you have declared to us that we should call unto you and you will answer us. And you will show us great and mighty things that we do not know. Therefore, we call upon you, whatever the circumstance might be, whatever the need might be. And we ask that you meet those needs. We ask that you step into those situations. We give you praise already, because we believe it's already done now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For in Jesus' name,